Our next guest, of course, a well-known, well-renowned musical artist, and two ventures for him. He'll be playing right before Friday's Blue Jays game against the Rays with the Jim Cuddy Band, and the always amazing Blue Rodeo will play Molson Amphitheater, as they do every year in the summer, and they'll play, now it's Budweiser Stage, they'll play there a week from Saturday. I will attempt to be at both shows. This is great. Jim Cuddy joins us from Blue Rodeo and the Jim Cuddy Band. What a busy summer for you. This is great.
Yeah, it's been a busy summer. It started out very, very nice and leisurely, and then it just intensified. So, but it's been good. It's been great.
Yeah. Now you play also with your you play with your son. Your son Devin has a band, and you're doing like a fathers and sons thing at the winery in Niagara Falls. I always figure, and you can relate to this, it's either famous athletes or pop and rock stars whose dads must still always seem cool. But you're gonna tell me that your son or your children think, oh, Dad, stop embarrassing us. Don't do that. Don't wear this. That doesn't happen in the Cuddy family, does it?
I think there was a time when my kids were little that they would that we would be walking, people would recognize me, and they thought that was pretty nice and pretty interesting, or that other parents would come up to me at school. But that wears off really quickly. And, yes, I think it's just an absolutely standard issue that children laugh at their parents regardless of their stature.
But you're not on stage with black socks and brown sandals. Like, you're not, like, it's not gotten to that point.
Oh, is that bad?
I ask many of my neighbors that. I'm embarrassed for my neighbors when they mow the lawn wearing brown sandals and black socks. Yes, Jim. Yes, I do.
You know, I saw a guy walking the other day with black socks pulled up, and I thought, I must have reached a certain age because I think it looks great.
No. Because Adam will relate to this.
But no, I think that when we're on stage together, I think a lot of the times I'm the boss. You know, I'm not attending their gigs. I've been to many gigs of my sons, both my sons play, and they have invited people out of the crowd to go, oh, come on up and do a song. Oh, come on up and do a song. Come on up and do a song. And I have not got the invite. So, you know, I know what it's like to be in the second tier status.
Because I was traveling out east, and I heard I was listening to satellite radio, and I hear an interview with Slash, and Slash is 53, and he talks about being like a hockey parent. So you can imagine going to like the Sunday rink, you got a coffee, and there's Slash.
And your top hat?
Yeah, there's Slash from Guns N' Roses with his kid on the ice playing.
Incredible.
Like, that's a different feel, I guess, if your son's teammate is Slash's dad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or Slash's son.
Very odd. I wonder if he wears the top hat to the rink.
I hope so. Smoking a cigarette just in the stands with his leather
vest.
Feels
like the last guy who would yell at a referee about an offside call for his 11-year-old
like
son.
That was not cool.
Jim, okay, obviously you're a huge Leaf fan. Where were you when you found out about John Tavares? What was your reaction? Are you pumped for this season?
Yeah, I'm totally pumped for this season. I don't remember where I was, but I remember thinking, this doesn't happen to the Leafs. I guess people on the inside must have felt that Tavares really wanted to sign here. But I think there was a lot of undercurrent of, oh, I remember Brian Burke saying on the TV or radio, nobody wants to sign in Toronto. It's too tough. And I thought, okay, well, that's the inside line. So I guess Johnny won't be he'll be San Jose Shark or something. But I was absolutely thrilled. And, of course, right away I thought, I wonder what this does to Austin Matthews. I mean, if you've already had to have a coach's visit because of, you know, the situation, I wonder what it does to be knocked off the perch as the number one center on the team. And that'll be interesting to watch.
Yeah, I feel, and I didn't think it had happened, and I kind of related this. I think younger people said, no, it's bigger than this. But you know when Curtis Joseph said, I want to play here, I thought that was incredibly significant. Like, the 90s were pretty lean after those two runs in 93, 94. And when Curtis says, I want to play, because, Jim, I think there were dominoes that followed after that. Gary Roberts wants to then come back after his comeback.
Joe
Nieuwendyke. I thought it became cool for a good 5-6 year stretch to be a Leaf, and I guess then it didn't. But those guys were also older players. We got to remember that this is in your prime, first chance to leave. John Tavares says I'll do it. Right?
Yeah. No, I think it's the most significant thing that's happened in 10 years to the Leafs, and I think it's probably a little premature to plan the Stanley Cup route. But I think they're going to be a very good team. Defensive deficiencies aside, we're going to score a lot of goals.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe we'll be back to sort of 80s Oiler hockey. You know, if they score 7, score 8, and then you'll win. I think it's incredible. I think they have a lot of depth, and it's going to be exciting. And the fact that he wanted to play here is very reassuring to fans at any level.
Now, Joe Bowen says Cup this year, like this coming season. You touched on
how many years had do we have yeah, Jim's laughing. Have we documented how many years he's predicted?
The Tim Brent years. It's going to be great.
You know, that's yeah. I moved to Toronto in 1967. I moved to Toronto in 1967. So don't tell me Cup this year.
Okay.
I know how that disappointment feels. You know, I think that I'm not sure why we're. I think you watch the playoffs and you realize the playoffs are so long that it's really just can you endure the length. You know, I'm glad that the Caps won, but it could have gone many ways. So the fact that they go deep in the playoffs will be very satisfying. It'll be very satisfying to watch the playoffs and still have a horse in the race. But as for winning the Cup, I mean, it's such a crapshoot. I don't know what Joe Bowen sees in his crystal ball, but that's a stretch.
Jim Cuddy, our guest, right before the Blue Jays game, before Jays and Rays on Friday night, and Blue Rodeo here a week from Saturday at Budweiser Stage. Adam and I are both big music fans. We were discussing how I love when bands keep making new music. You made a band with Jim Cuddy Band Constellation this year. The last Blue Rodeo album was a year and a half ago or so. That must be important to you, because we can still like old time. I won't call them old timer acts, but nostalgia feels nostalgic when you're not putting new music out. Has that always been important to you and Greg to be out there and putting a new album out and giving fans do want? I'm one of those fans that go to gigs. Of course, I want to hear some hits, but and we all do when we see our favorites. But we like those 3-4 new songs, 5 new songs that would get played at every show. Has that always been important to a band that's been around 35-40 years now?
I think that's the answer is twofold. I think that I think the most important thing at a concert is to give people something that they want, but also something that they didn't expect. I think those are the concerts you leave the most satisfied, when you have liked a new song or liked a new arrangement or just something that was different than you could expect it. And I think the lifeblood of a musician is to continue to work on writing newer and better songs. I think that they may not end up having the significance of songs that are deeply embedded in people's memory and people's lives, but I think that that's what keeps you attached to the endeavor and keeps you interested and keeps the creative juices flowing. And also, I think it just happens naturally. If I sit down with a guitar, I'm not sitting down to play until I am myself again. I'm just going to start fooling around with something new. So, you know, I think that we're lucky that our audience seems either eager or accepting of new songs, because it's very important to us.
And it's a tricky game, isn't it? Like, I know Billy Joel said, like, his last pop album was basically 93, and he said, oh, I didn't like how it was promoted. I thought singles should. And it can be a frustrating game for the more established artists, A, competing with new artists, trying to find radio time. So I understand why some artists say, nope, no more new music. I just am going to go out and tour, because music's distributed so differently than it used to be, right?
It is. But look, Billy Joel flies in on his chopper to land on the Madison Square Garden, plays that every single month to a full house. And why would he care whether his single was promoted properly or not? I mean, he must just like his life without having to work hard at making new music, because he obviously has an audience that's willing to listen. And I think there's no... You can't complain about the trajectory of your career. People, you know, the radio is going to be full of artists that are newer, that have a bigger, broader audience. And if you maintain an audience, if you have an audience, people that are listening to you, coming to see you play in concert and buying your new stuff, you have nothing to complain about.
Mm. Yeah, all right, really.
Adam, do you believe that Blue Rodeo's never had a chopper, though? I'm not sure.
I think a private
helicopter to make it around the country.
I had to, like, for like a, you know, a Kelowna show.
Where am I
like going
to land? Where do I land mine when I come to the Sky Dome?
Yeah, when you play the Cabot Trail, those are tough landings to find a helicopter pad on those roads. Yeah,
we love these remote gigs.
Catch Cuddy and the Jim Cuddy Band before Friday's Blue Jays game against the Rays. That's tomorrow night, and of course, Blue Rodeo in town next week at the Budweiser Stage. Jim Cuddy, a pleasure. Thank you so much for making time for us this morning.
It's my pleasure. I thought you guys were going to rib me about throwing out the first pitch. That's the biggest, one of the biggest sports thrills of my life.
Now, have you done it before? You've probably, you know, you'll end up
no, of
on.
Of course, I've never done it before. I've sang the anthem endlessly, but I've never thrown out the first pitch. And I tell you, I have been practicing so much, my arm is almost dead.
I know Dave Benini warmed up Geddy Lee for like weeks on end before Geddy did it a couple years ago because Geddy was nervous, and so like he basically went into like Dunedin spring training mode. Yeah, you could. I'm sure it's not that. It's not that hard to play a game of catch with Geddy Lee. He's not that elusive. You know him well. You could track him down.
Oh, that's good. I'll have to see how Geddy's experience went. Because, yeah, you just don't want to be that. If you do it well, it's forgotten. If you bounce that thing before the plate, that's the way.
And you got to go. You got to probably get on the dirt. You may not have to be right on the rubber at 60 feet, yeah. 6 inches, but you can't stand 20 feet away like Jennifer Lopez would or something
like
that.
Well, no, I want to be right on the rubber if they let me. I want to be right on the rubber.
Jim, the thing is that no matter how you throw, it could never be worse than 50 Cent, okay? Because he threw it, I think, to first base accidentally or third base, wherever it was. It was terrible. So, Jim, good luck with that because that's terrifying.
Now I'm current concerned for you. Thanks, Jim. Good luck. We'll be watching now.
That's more like it. Thanks a lot, guys.